This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit chevrolet.gm.ca.
Live from the CBC Broadcast Center, I'm Paul Dornstouter, and this is Saskatchewan This Week, the post-election spectacular. The CBC called the election at 8:49 Wednesday night, a Saskatchewan Party majority government. For the first time in 16 years, a party other than the NDP is forming the provincial government. Today's show is going to be wall-to-wall election stuff. The new premier, what we can expect from the new government, and about the challenges now facing the NDP. But first, election night. Here's how it sounded live from the CBC election set.
Here's our first result of the night, and the good folks in Cypress Hills are quick counters because they're first off the mark. One poll after 64 reporting, and that's Wayne Elhart.
Yeah, we have our second elected candidate of the evening, and that is Doreen Eagles for the Saskatchewan Party in Estevan. And based on current projections, the CBC election desk is projecting a Saskatchewan Party majority government. That is a Saskatchewan.
People seem to be very happy with the results, even though a lot of them know that they're not going to form the next government. Obviously, they're prepared to.
We tonight have received a strong mandate to serve as a strong opposition. And I look forward to forging our new team in opposition and getting to work in the session in December. Tonight, our work begins anew for the province and the people we love. God bless Saskatchewan, the greatest province in Canada. Thank you very much.
It's about building the skills in everyday working people so that they can succeed in Saskatchewan, so that this boom does not leave people behind. That's what we want. That's why we wanted to eliminate property tax off of people's homes. That's why we wanted to make education and schools the heart of our community. That's why we wanted to hold government, this government, to account. And we will, from the sidelines, unfortunately, continue to hold this government to account.
Today in Saskatchewan, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the verge of greatness, I believe. We're on the verge of an economic breakthrough, a chance to convert some momentum into lasting prosperity. We're on the verge of Saskatchewan taking its rightful place at the vanguard of this country, leading the West and leading Canada. And I see that confidence in the people that I've met throughout this campaign. You know, there's a determination in their eyes. There's a confidence in their step. This is not some land of meek and timid souls peeking nervously into an uncertain future with trembling or any apprehension at all. This is Saskatchewan, a province of amazing potential, full of confident, self-assured, yet humble people, ready to step boldly into that bright future.
Now, one voice you heard in that montage was that of Brad Wall, leader of the Saskatchewan Party and the next Premier of Saskatchewan. Sheila Coles caught up with him election night, right after he spoke to a room full of hometown supporters in Swift Current.
The moment of the call, tell me what your first thought was. What went through your mind?
Well, maybe this is an overused word at times like this, but humility. It's just very humbling to think that I have this honor now to lead a new government in the province that I love, a province that does truly have so much potential, and we've got a chance to keep the commitments we made in the campaign to make a real positive change, and that's something that it's just humbling. There's also a determination to do what we said we would do and to earn the support that so many entrusted in us today.
How do you think you were able to pull it off when Elwyn Hermanson couldn't 4 years ago?
Well, we learned the lessons from that election. The people had a clear message to all the political parties about their crowns, for example, about other issues. And so when I became the leader, I sought to build on the strengths of policy. I asked for a review of all policy with that aim in mind, build on the strengths, fill some of the gaps, have a clear position on crowns that we intend to keep, I will point out. And, Sheila, I think that's part of it. Then we began recruiting candidates early on. I had media asking, well, why are you nominating 2 years ahead of any potential election date, sometimes two and a half? The point there was to get on the doorsteps, to start door knocking right away, and to meet people in their constituencies and put our candidates out in the field. And, you know, they work very, very hard. Boy, they worked hard. And I think those are some of the reasons why we had success tonight. And I stand on the shoulders of Elwin and others who went before us in the party. You know, it's only 10 years old, and I'm not sure if there's another story like it in Canadian politics where a provincial party has been able to do it. So it takes a team, and it takes people to pioneer it and to trailblaze, and I have personally, and our party today has benefited from those people.
What would you say are the top three things on the list of promises you made, the things that you're going to get to work on right away?
They're all on the top of the list. There are some things we can move more quickly on, some that don't require legislation, perhaps some that do, and we'll have more to say about that tomorrow morning.
All right. You don't want to give us some idea how you've obviously done some prioritizing already.
Yeah, I think it's responsible for any opposition that's applying for the job of government to get ready in case that happens, and we have been, not in a presumptuous way, but we've been getting ready, and we want to start keeping the commitments we've made right away.
What are the challenges of moving into the legislature when you've got a civil service that's had 16 years with the NDP?
You know, I think the civil service in Saskatchewan has obviously they have been and they will be very professional, very neutral, but I think they welcome innovation and change, whether it comes from an incumbent or another new party. And, you know, I got a degree in public administration and studied to some extent, the storied history of our civil service in the province and Canada's civil service. We have a great tradition in our province, and I think that those women and men who are public servants are looking forward to innovation. They, too, believe in the potential of the province, and they want to make sure we do whatever we can to sustain the current momentum.
Mr. Wall, you've got lots of experience sitting in the legislature, but all as opposition. How will you get past the fact that you and your caucus members have no experience at governing?
Well, we do have significant experience in the legislature, and that shouldn't be underestimated, I don't think. I think it's important to... certainly that's the dynamic of government that we're familiar with. You know, you get into those committee meetings, estimates and committees of the whole, and you do gain an understanding and a knowledge, especially because you have civil servants in those meetings providing direct testimony. We also have a lot of other experience in terms of the police force, in terms of corrections, in terms of business, teachers, president of the STA, and I think it'll serve us well. You know, governments change, and so we're going to rely on good people around us, the people in the civil service, and our own experience and our own vision we have for the province.
Who's your closest advisor or mentor?
That would be Tammy.
It was the first time I've seen your wife. She's had a pretty low profile in the past. I guess we're going to be seeing more of her.
Yeah, some would say that probably was a mistake because she did a little campaigning, Sheila, on her own this election. She was in Yorkton on her own campaigning in Prince Albert, where she's from originally, and then Bigger asked her to come to a luncheon and a meeting, and she was great. All reports were great. In fact, none of those places asked for me to come back after Tammy had been there.
Give us some idea of what's going to go into your decision-making about cabinet.
Well, I think we have a great group of women and men to choose from, and I need to go over. I've been now away from the results of the election, actually, and I'm not sure who has all been elected. We're in transit over to the facility here in Swift Current that I spoke for a while, and so I need to look at that.
You're elected in 36, leading in one right now.
Oh, well, that's excellent. We're going to have a great... a great choice there to be made. Obviously, when we were looking
What goes into this decision? I mean, it is a delicate thing. You've got some new people in the cities, and some would say you've really got to focus on them. You've got some people who've been with the party since the very beginning. How do you go about in your head, and I'm sure you've already been thinking about it, working out who those senior people will be?
Well, I think it needs to be a combination of things. There needs to be a balance in terms of the geography of the province, in terms of experience that we have in our caucus, private sector, public sector, and all those things will factor into it, Sheila.
All right. I'm going to end by asking you this. Your first day walking into the legislature as premier, can I take you there? And you're walking past all the portraits of those who have gone before. What are you going to be thinking about?
Well, wow, I haven't actually thought about that. That's a great question, Sheila. I'm sure it will be an overwhelming moment, and I guess it should be. For whoever gets this job, it should be, because the task is obviously very important, and the responsibility is great, and those things will probably run through my mind, I'm sure.
Brad Wall, Saskatchewan's new premier, speaking with the Morning Edition's Sheila Coles. So, how might the province change under a Sask Party government? Sheila caught up with political analyst and former NDP finance minister Janice McKinnon.
Janice, you know, you were with us last night and we watched as the Sask Party managed to do now what they couldn't do 4 years ago. We all said it was going to be a battle in the cities, and we saw the Sask Party move into Capel Valley, to Regina South, Wascana Plains, five constituencies in Saskatoon, Yorkton, Prince Albert, Carleton, Moose Jaw North, all new territory there. What happened? Why did they pull that off?
Well, I think an important thing under the leadership of Brad Wall has been that the Saskatchewan Party has very much moved to the center of the political spectrum. It had toe-for-toe a policy on a drug plan, a different kind of drug plan than the NDP drug plan. It had lots of policy in healthcare, lots of policy in education. So it was a much more centrist party. And I think the other thing is that it was very difficult for the NDP to portray somebody like Brad Wall as scary. He may be many things, but scary I don't think fits.
So that was a mistake, that they pulled that out in the last days, and even yesterday, Election Day, those postcards with the picture of Brad Wall beside Grant Devine were dropping through people's mailboxes, and you think that failed?
I don't know if it failed across the piece. I mean, the New Democrats getting more than 20 seats in light of the polling numbers was, in a sense, a victory for them. But the polling numbers would have suggested a more dramatic result, although I think the numbers are great for a good, healthy government. But some of it may have worked, some of the caution may have worked, but it didn't work across the piece the way it did last time. Mm. And I think the key thing last time, if you look at it, Liberal voters, a lot of Liberal voters switched over to the NDP to keep the Saskatchewan Party out. What you'll see this time is that Liberal voters tended to go to the Saskatchewan Party and vote for change.
Mm. Biggest challenge facing Brad Wall as he moves into the legislature?
Well, you know, I think the biggest challenge is that none of them have really been in government before, so they have a pretty steep learning curve. It's a huge trip from the opposition benches. I fortunately never did sit there, but from the opposition benches to government, it's a huge, huge trip across that floor. And he's going to get briefing books, and they're going to be long, and he's going to have issues that he's going to have to deal with that he never even thought of. So I think the first few months, it's just coming to grips with what it means to be a government.
Mm. A lot of paper being shredded in the next few days, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think the civil service, it was ready for a change of government. I think they've handled the transition smoothly, and I don't think that the NDP would be in there shredding a lot of what was on the record.
What are some of the difficulties when you look at the delicate art of cabinet building? What do you expect to see there from Brad Wall?
I think one of his biggest challenges is he's going to have a fair number of women in that cabinet, and he didn't elect as many perhaps as he might have liked. And he's got, of course, balanced the rural-urban. He has won virtually all of the rural seats. He did very well in the cities, and so he's going to have to balance that out. It's going to have to be a cabinet that does reflect the strength of their support in rural Saskatchewan, but it also has to have an urban face to it.
Mm. So what do you look at, for instance? You were a finance minister. What do you look at in choosing what might be the most senior position in cabinet?
Well, I think experience will matter to some extent, although there will be probably people who are just first elected this time who will be in the cabinet, particularly again from the cities.
Would you expect that he would, for instance, the critics, you know, I think Ken Cheveldayoff was the finance critic. Would you expect it would be an automatic that the critics would move into the cabinet posts?
It's not an automatic, but it does help because you at least have some grounding in the portfolio. You know, you've covered that area for a number of months, and so you have at least some base from which to start, and when you're all starting new, that's an advantage. But it's not a given that you necessarily, because you were the critic for such and such, that you end up in that portfolio.
What's going to change in terms of his relationships, do you think, with business, with the unions?
I think of all the things that this government will be about, it will be economic development. It will be taking the province, which is in very, very good shape economically right now, and taking it to that next level. I think this is particularly important in light of what's happening in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of business people in Alberta concerned about the royalties. A lot of those businesses are headed by people from this province. And the lifestyle in Alberta isn't attracting young people the way it was in the past. So I think there's a huge opportunity here to build on what we've done so far with the economy, but take it to the next level.
And managing resources being number one on that list?
Well, yes, but just taking opportunities to attract. I mean, last night I thought what was most interesting was basically Brad Wall was saying, look, you know, all of you young people out there who had to leave this province for job opportunities, come on back.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I think there's a difference when it's a young guy himself saying that. Here he is, he's raising a young family. And all of the youth and energy and enthusiasm, and I think that will make a difference.
Is Mr. Calvert through?
I would, you know what, I would really doubt that Lauren Calvert will want to run in the next election. Because of the number of seats, you know, 20 seats, and in a situation where the polls were showing a pretty dramatic defeat could have been in store for him, I think he can leave with his head held high. He may... hopefully, I would think, hang around for a year or two so that they can have a really good leadership contest, allow a number of candidates, maybe some who aren't even in the caucus right now, to come forward. But I would doubt that he wants to run again.
Who are some of the people that spring to mind? I mean, it's certainly not like when, you know, Blakeney had the smooth handover to Roy Romano any longer. Who springs to mind for you?
Well, they have some solid members in there. Certainly Frank Quinnell is very solid, Len Taylor is solid. But as I say, if they want renewal, the problem is they don't have a lot of new young candidates. If they want renewal, they may have to allow time for some people from outside the caucus to actually get to know members and to take a run at it.
And we should tell people who missed our broadcast last night that I asked you and you answered and you ruled it out.
Oh, yes. No, that's right. Not me.
All right. We'll be speaking with Andrew Thompson, actually, in our next half hour. Do you see him as a prospective leader?
Possibly. Maybe a slightly more divisive feature, a person within the party. You know, you could have that. You could also have Eric Klein if he were interested in coming back. But having just stepped out may be difficult. I think if you look at what happened with the Saskatchewan Party, this is a generation change. This is a younger generation taking over. And I think for the long term, the New Democrats should look at that option. Can they hand the leadership of the party off to a new generation?
Where are the Liberals this morning?
Well, the Liberal Party in Saskatchewan is in very difficult shape. Its vote shrank. It's elected no members. And federally, there's only one member. So they have to do a real major rethink about what their role is in Saskatchewan.
Are we now a two-party province?
Essentially, because you have the Greens there, too.
Gaining.
Other parties, but the other two, the Liberals and the Greens, are certainly other parties, not main parties.
That's right, and you almost wonder when they're going to meet, with the Liberals down to 9 and the Greens up to 2.
Yes.
All right. Well, great to talk to you again. And again, thank you for talking with us throughout the campaign and for joining us last night here at the Broadcast Center.
Oh, it was great fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sheila Cole speaking with Janice McKinnon. Now, one other story from election night. Other than 4 years in opposition, what does this mean for the NDP? Well, Sheila put that question to another former finance minister, the NDP's Andrew Thompson.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheila.
Well, you had an opportunity last night to talk with New Democrats, including the premier. What was the buzz? What were people saying?
Well, obviously, they were disappointed with the result in many regards. But people felt that we had left the province a better place than we found it and feel good about the record. And believe that this is now a good opportunity and a good base to rebuild from.
The numbers weren't quite as bad as some people, including yourself. What were you saying before the broadcast last night?
Well, there was no doubt if we were looking at those poll numbers that it could have been a really tough night for the NDP. I think given the poll numbers and, in fact, given the results we saw, it could well have been a SAS party government with 45 seats. And that didn't happen. And it'll be interesting as we now get a chance to kind of look at those results to see why that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. What went wrong for the NDP?
16 years is a long time in government. And no matter how prosperous the province is, you have a lot of issues that you deal with that are simply administrative that irritate people. And people get tired of seeing the same five faces in front of the TV cameras. And I think that that is largely the weight that that caught up with us.
It's got to be more than that, though.
Well, I'm not sure that in this particular campaign that the platform resonated the way that people had hoped for.
What parts of the platform didn't work?
There was no doubt the drug plan was more controversial than I think people had expected.
What were insiders in the party? Was that a bone of contention? What was discussed within the party about the drug plan?
Well, there was no doubt when we brought in the seniors' benefit this spring that we had wanted to see how that would work, how that would be approved and received, and it was very well received. And so it was a natural step to think, well, why not provide this benefit to everybody? And I think we had difficulty connecting why that was the right place to spend money in healthcare.
Well, you did, because a lot of the emails that I've seen talked about, look, I still have to wait 2 years mm-hmm. for my hip surgery, but you're going to buy drugs for rich people. That was what most people read into that part of the plan, that it was a very expensive plan and that it didn't address the problems with waiting lists and the other things that are a real part of people's lives.
Yeah, I think we were of the view that we had addressed a lot of that in other pieces of the platform. But as is so often the case, one piece of a platform will stand out and become an issue. And I think about in 1999, we had that around the first year free tuition. And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. good idea, but not well received and became a bit of a lightning rod. This campaign seemed like that was a bit of the case with the drug plan. And
you had people like Janice McKinnon saying it was bad public policy.
Well, okay, but that's Janice McKinnon. And, you know, she didn't like the seniors drug plan when we brought that in either. And Janice has a very different view of kind of how you deal with Medicare than I think most of us who are in the party right now see it. What we needed to do was a better job explaining why that was a good benefit. But there were other things that were going on. I think we had a stronger campaign on the ground than people had initially thought we were going to. In the last week after the poll, I've got to say Lauren Calvert did a remarkable job in terms of the approach that he had going around the province, making sure that his ideas and his vision were being promoted. And I think it ended up with the kind of result that Saskatchewan people wanted, a change of government, mm-hmm. but a strong opposition.
But another part of the last few weeks of the campaign was the negative scare campaign, and that didn't seem to wash with people either. You know, people weren't buying the whole Brad Wall equals Grant Devine, and was that a mistake?
Well, I don't think a lot of younger people remember Grant
they
Devine.
They don't.
I barely remember Grant Devine. And, you know, at some point we're going to have to start talking again about, you know, what is happening with, you know, what the current SAS party government has done or will do and what our competing vision is and get back to that. You know, there's a lot of issues we're going to have to take stock. It was a defeat and defeats are tough to put up with. But out of this, we're going to take the opportunity to go and listen again and reconnect with people and to rebuild.
Should Mr. Calvert have left sooner?
You know, I know that this is an issue he thought about and obviously—
He had an opportunity, right, with the United Church.
I don't know if that's the case or not. He is a very talented man. He has great values, and I think that those are in large part reflected in the fact that we did as well as we did yesterday. I know that he is thinking about what his future is. I said to him last night when I talked to him briefly not to rush into a decision. I remember the situation in 1982 where Al Blakeney suffered a much worse defeat and came back to win the popular vote 4 years later. You know, Lauren is a man of good vision and great values, and I think that he obviously is, I think, going to welcome a bit of a break. And I hope he then gets right back at it, and I think he will in terms of rebuilding the party.
He was hinting that it was unlikely he would stay on last night.
Well, I don't think that the night of an election is ever a great night to make decisions about your future. I know that he takes the, you know, he feels responsible in large part for the result, and I think that that's both good and bad.
Let's just play some tape from Lauren Calvert. He was talking with reporters, of course, after his speech last night and was treading very carefully when he was asked questions about his future as leader. So here is Lauren Calvert speaking with reporters just after his speech yesterday evening in Saskatoon.
This was the fourth anniversary. We could have governed for another 6 months. We could have gone in the spring. I felt true to my word. I thought we should go now. And we've had a good run in government.
Brad Wallace said that he's going to set a date for the next election. Are you looking forward to that date?
Well, yes, I am looking forward to that date. If not for me at that point in time, at least for the party. Because given the strength of our position today, and given the work that we can and will do, particularly in rural Saskatchewan, to rebuild, That next election will again be, I think, a tight election.
That's twice now. You said that you weren't going to be around for the next election. Are you going to? It sounded like you're already maybe.
I'm going to sit down, Mervyn, with the party. The likelihood is not great that I would lead the party into the next election, but that decision is not made. But I wouldn't make it tonight. I wouldn't make it this week. It's going to be a period of assessment.
So the likelihood, not great. That is former Premier now, Lauren Calvert, MLA for Saskatoon Riversdale. So if he doesn't make the decision right away, how would this best work out for the party if he does decide to leave?
Well, what is going to have to happen over the next few weeks is we're going to have to get ready to move to opposition. He's going to have to start assigning the critic responsibilities. We're going to have to go back through and take a look at what the campaign, what happened in that campaign, what assets we have.
You keep saying we. What's your role in all of this?
Well, my role will be limited in all of this. So obviously, I decided not to run again. Last night was the first night I had any real regrets about that.
Because your constituency went to the Sask party.
Well, yes. Ouch. That hurt.
Yeah,
there's
I bet
no
it
doubt
did.
It hurt.
Well,
but,
are you asking yourself, what if I'd stayed?
Well, several people asked me that. I said, well, we could have lost by 700 votes instead of the 200 that we did. And it's hard to tell what those things do.
Why did you leave?
I just thought it was time to go. I really wanted to do something else. And that was the decision. I thought it's important to go and get experience elsewhere. And I'm looking forward to doing that in the private sector for a while.
If there is a leadership race, will you be back?
I haven't decided. I really haven't decided. I'm looking forward to doing something else for a while, and we'll see, you know, what the future brings.
Not ruling it out?
Not ruling it out. I'm anxious to get to work with a lot of the other younger people in the party. There's a new generation of New Democrats coming up, and I'm anxious to work with them in the rebuilding and anxious to work with my more senior colleagues in the Assembly who have that experience in opposition, who know how to rebuild. And I hope that, I'll say this again this morning, I hope Lauren stays on for a good long while because I think that he's a good leader and a good man.
What are you doing now?
I'm hopefully going to be gainfully employed very soon, and I've got some work lined up.
That job at Payless Shoes we talked about earlier.
You decided I didn't have the personality for a Walmart greeter. Isn't that what we decided?
I think that's what we decided.
Right.
All right. Well, before you go, what kind of opposition can we expect to see, do you think, from the NDP? It's been 16 years of governing. How do you then move into opposition?
Well, as Lauren Calvert said last night, our values and our views aren't going to change. As we've changed from one side of the floor to the other. We've got some really good new people who have been elected. Cam Broughton in Saskatoon is a remarkable young guy. Darcy Ferber has a lot of energy in PA. We've got a number of people. Trent Witherspoon, who's been elected here in Regina. There's a good group of new people there. We're going to help them find their legs. I think you're going to hear a lot stronger set of voices from the women in the caucus, which is going to be interesting to hear. Sandra Morin has done a remarkable job. She's going to be very effective in opposition. And I think they're going to hold this government to account. I think people find it very hard to believe that all of a sudden the roads are going to flatten out, you know, that there's going to be oil under the Canadian shield, that we're going to drill in our backyards and all become, millionaires like the Clampets. So we'll just see how Bradwell does.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. Where is home for you now?
Home's still here in Regina.
And it will continue to be in Regina?
For a while, I hope so.
The gainful employment is not in Regina, is it?
The gainful employment looks like it's elsewhere, but hopefully it'll let me spend a fair amount of time here.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time. I know you had a late night, so we appreciate you
thanks,
coming
Sheila.
In and spending some time with us this
appreciate
morning.
It.
Sheila Coles speaking with the NDP's Andrew Thompson. And that's the show for this week. Thanks for joining me. If you'd like to find out more about the election or stories about the new government, check out our website at cbc.ca/sask. And if you have any thoughts about this show or the election, drop me a line. Tell me about them. You can send your email to saskpod@cbc.ca. I'm Paul Dornstouter. Thanks for joining me. See you again next week.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.